This is a KUNV Studios original program.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Hello and welcome to another episode here at KUNV 91.5. Let's talk UNLV. Thank you guys for joining us. And today we have a special guest. We have Angela Baker. And Angela is with Veteran Forces. We're listening. So we're going to talk about that during this episode. And she's military, ex-military also. So, Angela, the way that we start the show is we like to ask guests to give us your origin story. How did you end up here at UNLV?
Wow. So it's an interesting story. By the way, please call me Angie because we do have two Angelas in our office. So Angie is fine right here. Well, I ended up at UNLV in September with Veterans Voices We're Listening. But I've been in Vegas since 2019, just before the pandemic. I moved here from the Bay Area after retiring from the U.S. Navy after 22 years. I saw that, hey, it's a little bit cheaper to live in the Vegas area, and I really like beautiful sunny weather, and Henderson Green Valley was very appealing to me. So I made that leap. I moved here just like, you know, plenty other people have done before. And in September last year, about pure coincidence, I was having a conversation with someone in a Rotary Club and just telling them how I would love to be a part of a program that served veterans. And voila, I was introduced to Ms. Barbara Tabak at Veterans Voices We're Listening here at UNLV. And all I can say is 2 days later, you know, I had a job and here I am now.
Excellent, excellent. I can tell it's something that you're happy with because of the smile. The guys in the audience can't see that here. So you say you was in the Navy for 20 years. Were you enlisted or an officer in the Navy?
I was enlisted for 22 years and I retired as a chief petty officer.
Oh, CPO. Mm-hmm. What was your rate?
Yeoman, or most people might hear YN.
YNC.
Yes. How did you know about that?
Well, I lived in San Diego, and San Diego's a military town.
So. Yes, it is.
Yeah, YNC. Okay, cool, cool, great. So let's dive into a few of these questions. Speaking about Veteran Voices, can you tell us in the context of the university, tell us what Veterans Voice We're Listening is? Tell us what that program is, first of all.
Veterans Voices We're Listening is an oral history project, and it's in collaboration with UNLV's own Military Veterans and Service Center, as well as the Women's Research Institute of Nevada. And so what we do there are, well, I should say, the mission of Veterans Voices We're Listening is to really listen, record, and preserve the memories and experiences of veterans living right here in Southern Nevada. So that's what we do, you know. Okay. As a short.
So after speaking with these vets, you get their oral histories and maybe pictures. Do you compress those into a book or how do you go about that?
We do. I know the listeners can't see this, but I did bring an example of one of my books here. But the main goal is really to hear those voices and to hear those stories of Southern Nevada veterans. And many people ask, you know, why Southern Nevada veterans? Why not California or the whole entire United States? Well, you're probably going to ask me this question, so I'm going to go in and tell you. In 2022, Barbara Tabak, who founded Veterans Voices We're Listening, she identified that the Library of Congress, in their Veterans History Project, Southern Nevada veterans were underrepresented when it came to like sharing their history. Uh-huh. Although we have over 160,000 veterans right here in Southern Nevada, so Barbara Tabak wanted to find a way to correct that issue. And so, therefore, she started this project.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Now, I didn't ask you, I'm going to take a step back. Okay. I didn't ask you about your journey in the military. So tell us, you know, how did you get started? How did you decide, number one, to go into the military? Number two, selected the Navy. Where'd you go to boot camp? How did you decide to become a yeoman? Tell us your process, because you don't just become a chief overnight.
That is true. Well, imagine growing up in East Tennessee. I grew up in a very small town called Alcoa, A-L-C-O-A, Tennessee. It's right outside of Knoxville, so it's at the foothills of the Smokies. Well, I went away to college to a HBCU called Tennessee State University, which is in Nashville. And during my second year of college, my roommate, who was also from my neighborhood, she runs in the room and she goes, guess what? I met a recruiter. I'm going to join the Navy. Come on, let's do it together. And I'm like, this is Desert Storm. I don't think I want to do that. But what sold me was educational benefits, the chance to travel, the chance to see the world, you know, in a different perspective and get away from, you know, the problems that we have as students when you're trying to pay for college.
Yeah.
So there you go. I joined the Navy. And I actually started out as an airman working with F-18s. Over the years to pick up rank, I studied and, you know, I got the rank of YN, which is yeoman. And over the years, I continued to excel as a yeoman to the point where I ended up being a speechwriter for admirals and generals. So over those years, I did a lot of editing, a lot of writing, and a lot of keeping people out of trouble as a chief.
Okay. So for those students that aren't acquainted with or familiar with the military, tell us just a bit about the duties of a yeoman, because I'm sure you did more than just write.
Right. So the duties of a yeoman, just think of it as making sure that awards are written and provided that are given out to service members. You got awards, you got legal documents, you have counseling, you have grooming sailors, mentoring them to make sure they're staying on track professionally. Uh-huh. And then the other side would be a yeoman working for a captain or a senior officer, where they would be more of an executive assistant. They would make travel arrangements, will help prepare speeches. And we also, that person who protects what we used to call the gatekeeper.
Yes.
You know, to protect the admirals, the generals, the senior military, and senior enlisted, like the master chief. So we carried their schedules and make sure that everything was good on a daily basis.
Excellent. Now let's get back to Veterans Voices here. Mm-hmm. How does Veterans Voices We're Listening ensure inclusivity and representation across the branches and areas of the U.S. military in capturing these oral histories? How do you do that?
That's a great question. Well, this has really become organic when it comes to finding veterans to tell their story. So a lot of times, first of all, let me say that we are in a city that is known for one of the largest Air Force bases, right? So automatically, we're going to get Air Force veterans that want to tell their story. But to make sure we include all services, that's where the Military and Veterans Service Center comes into play. They help us connect with the community, whether it's veterans, dependent, and organizations that support veterans. Mm-hmm. We don't say no really to anyone as long as they're a resident of Southern Nevada. Uh-huh. So it helps us easily include all branches and services. And one thing I will tell you that I never thought we would find so many Navy. I mean, we still need more Navy. We need more Coast Guard stories. But other than that, I feel like we're doing a pretty good job of making sure that we include everyone.
Okay. Are you noticing that you're capturing the stories, oral histories of more male or more female, or how's that balancing out?
That is a great question too, because I think since I came on in September, we probably had more males. However, with me, out of the three of us, I'm the only veteran. And once we got connected to the Women Veterans of Nevada, that just opened up a door for females to really tell their story. So it was, you know, word of mouth. You know, I did this project. You should do it. And next thing I know, we're starting to grow more females. I don't know the numbers offhand, but we're starting to really grow on the women telling their story as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. It's always important to build those connections with other groups, other people, other entities, so that you can have a bigger network. And, you know, when you cast that net, you get more of what you're actually looking for. Mm-hmm. So those are excellent opportunities. Can you walk us through the process of collecting, transcribing, and editing these audio oral histories of the Southern Nevada veterans and their families as well?
Absolutely. Well, first we identify the veteran, right? We identify that veteran, whichever way it may come. It may come through an email, a phone call, or even someone saying, hey, I know I have a buddy that wants to do this. So we talk to that veteran it's called a pre-screening, so to speak. Uh-huh. And what we get from that about 15-minute phone conversation to kind of get an idea of what they did in the military, you know, where did they come from? What service did they serve in? What was their specialty? You know, what was the number of years that they serve? From there, we set up their first interview. And the first interview will take about 2 hours. And we literally set a recorder down and we talk to the veteran and they just share their story. It can be from childhood to why, just like you asked me, what made me join the Navy? You know, why did you choose that branch? And so on and so forth. After the first interview, after that recording, we take that recording and we send it to a human. I love saying this. A human transcriptionist. Uh-huh. We do not use AI, and that's something I really love about this project. We use a real person to transcribe the oral recordings. Uh-huh. By the way, we do not do video, we just do oral. So that transcriptionist transcribes that oral recording, sends it back to us at Veterans Voices, and we share that with the narrator. And between us and the narrator, we get to do like light edits. Of course, we don't want to take away the story, right? So when I say light edits, it could be like taking out the ums and the ooh, you know, that background noise or that chatter. And we also make sure that we fact check. You know, we love veterans, we love people, but we also want to make sure the story is true, right? All right. But I will tell you, the oral recording stays raw. So whatever is said in that oral recording, that stays unless... there's slanderous information, classified information, or someone's going to be put in danger. That's when we take something out of the oral recording. But other than that, oral recording, it's transcribed by a human, and then both our team and the veteran gets to do edits. By the way, it takes about 2, maybe 3 sessions of 2 hours each to complete the final product.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Has there been any stories that actually stuck with you that a vet has told, and it just goes with you no matter where you go? Any of those?
Oh, my goodness, yes. There are plenty of stories. One thing I can say is that when you serve in one branch, right? I served in the Navy, right? And I look at a person who may have served or hear from a person who served in the Air Force. And I'm thinking at first, I'm thinking, man, we were so different. They're two different branches. No way. When you hear those stories, you realize that all these different branches, even though they're different, there are so many similarities. And it may not be just what they did in the military, but it could be a similarity between, I went to the same university. Who would have known? You know, and then there's stories of, you know, the way some veterans describe something. It almost puts you in that place at that time. Oh. And that's amazing to me. Like, you can read things all day, but when you hear and you see the emotion of that veteran telling that story, it just puts you in a whole different place. Oh, and yeah. There are a couple of stories that stick with me.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Yeah. In what ways does Veteran Voices We're Listening preserve the diversity of veterans and their experiences, service, and sacrifices within the oral history or archives?
Okay, so right now we are working with a number of sources. The main source, UNLV Special Collections. So we're working with them right now to preserve the oral history and special documents that will house at Special Collections. And we're also going to be working with museums and hopefully exhibits across the nation. So a great example would be the World War II Museum that we have to, you know, make sure that we get a good relationship where we can share everything and keep it there. And then you think about all these exhibits across the nation, right? Just imagine if you can go into the Military Women's Museum, for example, and hear your great-great-aunt tell her story of serving in the military. So those are kind of things and the different organizations we hope to work with in the future so these stories can be held for future generations.
Okay. Well, and I know you say you all do oral history there. Mm-hmm. Has there been any consideration given to maybe certain stories being recorded to be shown in these, mm-hmm. you know, museums or libraries or schools or wherever, you know, college campuses to get these stories out? Any consideration at all?
That's something we have talked about. You know, of course, you know, we're still in our infancy. We're only 2 years old. But that is something that we have discussed, and we hope that one day we'll get there, you know. So it sounds amazing. I like that idea of putting those stories in schools. What an amazing way to teach history, right?
Yeah, well, it reminded me of at the beginning of, mid to beginning of February, I went to this NFL town hall, and they showed a video of these football players telling their stories, and it was very, very impactful. And some of those stuck with me. So things like that, even hearing like the oral histories, I'm sure something like that could be very impactful to really see the person's face, to see, you know, even the age category of the person telling these stories from, I don't know, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, what the Navy was like when it was actually the Navy in the 80s. When, you know, so the military has changed over the years. So,
yes, it has. Yeah. And can I add something?
Sure.
You know, we're having a reception here at UNLV on April 24th at the TAM Alumni Hall. And we will have a little glimpse of some of those narrators on video.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so that's a great way to introduce this project. And it's a great way to meet some of the narrators who have completed the books and the ones who are actually going through the process. So, you know, I know we haven't gotten to that point, but yeah, that's something I think people could benefit from. It's a free reception. And it is, I'm telling you, come out and just meet these narrators.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a great idea. We will definitely talk about that more. You know, even here on campus, I've ran into military personnel here on campus, just like Captain Pierre Sutton. Mm-hmm. He will be here next Tuesday as a guest.
Oh, wow.
Along with another captain from his office, speaking about military affairs on that show. But it's important that we, you know, we do get to talk to these people or you know, recognize the vets that we do have on campus. So, and I definitely want to say, which I've noticed I've not said yet, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you for
because,
saying
you know,
that.
It's such a sacrifice, not just for the person, but for the family as well. Mm-hmm. You know, when they go through it also, you know, when a military personnel is sent to, I don't know, Okinawa, Japan, that family is back home, you know, unless that family go with them. But that family usually is here in the United States, corresponding, you know, over the phone, through mail or whatever, G-chat, something. But the family goes through it as well. So I definitely want to acknowledge the families in all of this. Could you discuss the significance of scanning photographs and other materials in conjunction with oral histories and how these elements contribute to the final oral history product?
Oh, I love this part. I may not be a great fan of actually scanning, but imagine a story. Now, I can tell some tall sea stories, right? But imagine putting pictures with that.
Exactly.
Right? Putting a picture with what it looked like for a World War II veteran, wherever they were. Putting a picture with a veteran who was stationed in, let's say, Okinawa, Japan. The backdrop, right?
Exactly.
Seeing that with your eyes and hearing the story, it's almost like a little quick motion picture. That's the way I describe it.
Yeah.
And then the other piece of it is, you ever been into a veteran's home? Don't they have a I Love Me wall or a binder with all their certificates and evaluations and special correspondence?
Yeah, absolutely.
Imagine putting that with the story. That just adds a new level of what this project is by seeing and hearing and just really appreciating what that veteran went through.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's like providing all the stories that these veterans tell. If they got pictures to back this up, that's providing the receipts. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the receipts for it. So if they tell you this story, they got proof of it. So,
and imagine the first paycheck that you get having a copy of that.
Yes, exactly. Remind me of this dry cleaners that I walked into, and this man had a picture of a dollar bill in a picture frame. I was like, why do you have a dollar in your frame? It's like, well, that's the very first dollar that I actually made. So, you know, these things mean something. The memorabilia that these vets hold in their household or wherever it's kept, it actually means something. You know, it brings back memories for them. So
yes.
I can definitely, definitely respect that. What are the key steps involved in creating and publishing a book of transcripts and images based on the collected oral histories?
Now, we have a process with that, too. So we already talked about how we do the oral recording and we get it transcribed, right? We do the edits of the transcript of everything that's transcribed. So imagine you're putting your own book together. All right. You have the oral history already on paper and you start going through it. You start editing. Oh, you know, this didn't sound right. Or maybe I was too wordy with this question as the interviewer. So we may edit that a little bit. Then we take those pictures and that memorabilia that we were talking about just before and place it in the right section in the book. You know, if I said Fifi, my dog, was with me when I went to the recruiting station, in that part of the story, I might have that picture right there. Uh-huh. Okay. And then we'll also add like an appendix if we need to add more photos that weren't identified within, you know, the rest of the story. Maybe we want to put some extra photos in there. Maybe we want to put a copy of that LES, you know, or that paycheck, or maybe you were, or this veteran was in an article that was very special to them. They'll put that in there. And then after that, you'll have kind of like an index. But right now we're calling it key terms or key themes and terms.
Yeah.
It's similar to an index. Why is that important? Because we want researchers in the future to be able to look at those key themes and terms and be like, oh, here's another one that talked about being an African-American Navy chief. Or here's another veteran who's talking about, you know, serving in Vietnam, you know, and their family was left behind. Well, of course, they're left behind, but they're in Vietnam.
Yeah.
But you want to pick up what is the theme here, yeah, right? So we have a section for that. And I love that we have so many acronyms. You know this, right?
Yeah,
there's so many acronyms in the military.
Yeah, you just used one earlier that, you know, for the audience that were listening, you said LES, that's mm-hmm. a leave and earning statements, and that's another term for your paycheck or your pay stub. So
thank you,
yeah,
for
there's
clarifying
tons
that.
Of, yeah, of acronyms. Just like I discovered when I started here at UNLV, there's an acronym for everything. And I was given a guide, you know, with partial acronyms. And in that partial, there's like maybe 250 acronyms in that partial. I'm like, if
oh my
this
goodness.
Is partial, I hate to see the rest. But yeah, there's acronyms for everything. But yeah, there's definitely acronyms in the military.
So that's why we come up with the key themes and terms at the end of the book. And then of course, we take all that information and we also design a cover, just like this. You know, in our office, between really more so my coworker, Dr. Angela Moore, she's better with this than I am. But we design a cover based on what we have available from the veteran. And then we send all that, everything, to the person or to the print shop that's going to print it for us. Mm-hmm. And voila, those books come back and we have a finished product.
Okay. And yeah, let me ask you, so do you guys give these vets these books, or is there a particular place that they can go purchase them, or is mm-hmm. there a place that just the common person could go purchase these books? How does that happen?
As funding permits us, we'll be able to give the narrator a couple copies, mm-hmm. right? And then we'll keep like a copy or two for ourselves in our office, so we'll be able to travel and say, hey, you know. But one thing we also have available, and we'll also discuss this with future narrators, is maybe we'll put this on a thumb drive or house the PDF somewhere where they have access. So in the future, if they want to get more copies and pay for it themselves, or maybe someone would gift them that book based on the PDF and have it printed, that's fine as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. About how many books so far have been produced from this?
So far, we have printed about 25 books, but we've done over 50 interviews so far. So we still have a lot of interviews in process.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty good in like 2 years, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
What, three people?
So let me ask you this. How does Veteran Voices We're Listening ensure the accessibility for the final oral history product to the public? And I think that's what I just asked mm-hmm. you. How do public get a hold of this? Is there a way for the public to actually access these?
Well, they can contact us. That's one way. Or if they know the veteran, they can also get access to it. But until we get these items uploaded into special collections, they will have to go directly through us or through the veteran at this point.
So if someone did want to get a book, how would they contact you? How would they do that? How would they contact your office?
Well, we do have a phone number. And that number is 702-895-4297. And we also have an email address that goes directly to Veterans Voices, and that's VVWL at UNLV.edu. Okay. VVWL at UNLV.edu.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So for the students that are listening now, if they wanted to say, oh, you know, this sounds great, I definitely would like to check this out. Mm-hmm. What would they find you on campus if they wanted to do that?
We're inside the online education building inside of the Women's Research Institute of Nevada. So that's actually 4292 South Maryland Parkway.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And what are the hours there, dude?
The hours?
Yeah.
We're usually, there's someone usually there from about 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Okay. Yeah. Typical normal.
And it's a secure building, so we definitely would have to know if someone's coming, but we do have, you know, like the doorbell.
Yeah.
You know,
okay. So. Sounds great. Sounds yeah. great. In your opinion, what impact does Veteran Voices We're Listening have on fostering understanding and appreciation for the realities and sacrifices of military service members among future generations?
I actually said this a little bit earlier, and this is my opinion. When you hear the story, especially from me and other interviewers, you get to see the veteran tell a story. So you get to see the emotion, right? That's yeah. raw, right? You get to see the emotion and hear the story straight from the veteran's mouth who actually experienced it. That's powerful to me. It's not coming from an analyst or from an expert. It's coming from the veteran's words. And I would also add that, you know, veterans carry a lot of weight on their shoulders. If you put on a uniform and you go anywhere in this world, you're a representative of the entire United States of America. It doesn't matter Absolutely. If you're good or bad, right? Sharing the stories, they really highlight how things got done and how they get done in the military. It's like a little glimpse of what happens. No one understands what it's like to sleep in a rack on a ship while their ship is rocking.
Yes.
You know? You know, so being able to explain that, to explain what was happening during an era, you know, to see how things have changed in, from World War II, Vietnam, all the way to global war on terrorism, how things looked. But I believe also, and this is us, this has actually been told to us plenty of times, that it's very healing and it's very therapeutic to share a story. And a lot of times veterans' families don't even know Excellent. What they're going to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and sometimes, you know, I'm just sitting here thinking about how these stories go, especially if they have a family member there with them and that family member is hearing that story for the very first time. So let me ask you this, and if you could give me something like maybe in 30 seconds or less. Can you give us your most memorable moment for you and your most proudest moment being in the Navy?
Me? Personally?
Yes, you. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
Okay, I was stationed in the Kingdom of Bahrain, right? I was working for an admiral, and the admiral got invited to the King's Palace. And he tells me, Chief, you're going with me. I said, no, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are. I said, I got things to do with the other chiefs. He said, no, you're going. And so I end up putting my dress uniform to go to the King's Palace. And my friends later were like, what were you thinking? You got to go to the King's Palace. Wow. No other job in this world will allow you to have dinner with a king.
Wow.
And the whole world, your family.
Wow.
That's amazing to me. And I treasure that memory. So
Absolutely.
Much,
and that's know? Something that'll stick with you for the rest of your life. So in closing, what would you say about Veterans Voices We're Listening? What would you like us, the audience, to know in closing? What would you like to
in
say?
Closing, this project is a way, again, to hear the veterans' voices through their words, through their memories. And memories can go just as quick as they come, right? And to hear their story and put it on paper and to share those pictures and those memorabilia is just, there's no other project I can think of that is just, nothing compares to this.
Okay.
And where, I just want to say that if you know of a World War II veteran that wants to share their story, they're far and few between, and we will put them at the head of the line.
Okay. And there's a program you said that's coming up over in TAM. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us about that again?
Okay. It's called the Veterans Voices We're Listening Reception.
Veterans
you know,
Voices
simple as it. It's April 24th from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the TAM Alumni Center. So it's free. You can tell us you want to come and who you bringing.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. And that's going to do it for us on KUNV. I thank my guest, Angela Baker, so very much for being
thank
here and sharing
me.
All of this information with us. And that's going to be a wrap for us here on KUNV 91.5. Let's talk UNLV.
For more Let's Talk UNLV, be sure to follow us on social media where you can get the latest updates on the show plus great behind-the-scenes content. We're on Facebook at Let's Talk UNLV Podcast, Twitter at Let's Talk UNLV, and Instagram at Let's Talk UNLV Pod.